You're listening to episode 112 of the Fitz Pro podcast, and this is part two of a two-part series. So we did part one in episode 111, and I am answering between the two episodes 22 program design questions, and that is in regards to exercise program design. So if that is you and or if you are interested in that, this episode is for you. Without further ado, let's dive in. The Fitz Pro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average Fitzpo. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a Fitzpro. First things first, if you are here for the business side of things, whether you are a coach wanting to transition into the online space or you are already in the online space as a health and fitness professional, I encourage you to join my free on-demand workshop, Your Biz Your Way, 3 steps to build a profitable online health and fitness business. The link to that will be in the show notes, but you can also register at anniemiller.co/workshop-register. And if you are interested in any of the free downloads and resources that I have to offer, go to anniemiller.co/resources, and that is where you can find all of the goodies for trainees and coaches or entrepreneurs alike. So, as I mentioned in the intro, this is a two-part series answering questions from the gram, Instagram. In the previous episode, we covered the following questions: how you set up individual periodized programming for a one-on-one client, what are your first steps during intake and how do you execute them in regards to assessments, what movements to assess during an initial assessment, how to assess for imbalances and how to work through those muscle imbalances, how to pair movements in regards to a superset or triset, how to know how to include different movements, so vertical pushing, pressing, push-pull ratios, things of that sort, controversial movements, so pulling behind the neck or doing high pulls, what I think about that, how I deal with controversial movements, when a client experiences tightness, how to either modify and or communicate, and how to order movements. So go back and listen to episode 111 if you missed it. I did order these from 1 to 22 in a somewhat sequential manner, so you will want to go back and listen to that episode before listening to this episode. Now we are getting into more training protocol, muscle groups, frequency, and so on. Let's go ahead and get started. First up, we have the best strength training protocol. I am not aware if there is a best strength protocol according to the literature, but some tried and true methods for strength are wave loading and the Wendler 531. Those are pretty solid programs or methodologies for you to look up if you are looking for something specific to building strength. Wave loading and the Wendler 531, and that is from Jim Wendler. He has updated it several times. Check it out. Next up is a lot of one-on-one programs look similar. Is it wrong if two look the same or similar? In short, no. It is very normal for one-on-one programs to have a similar structure or include similar set and rep schemes, exercises, etc. With time, you will figure out what leads to successful outcomes. You'll repeat parts of this in multiple programs. If you use 10 to 20 exercises, there will be a similar use of exercises and structures within your programming. As long as the program fits the goals, assessments, and accessibility of the client, you're good. Worry about getting that client the results that they're paying for versus if the program looks similar to another client of yours. Okay, how often to train given muscle groups? How often to hit the same muscle groups? Generally speaking, a minimum of 5 to 7 days between hitting the same movements and or muscle groups. Put simply, we need enough time to recover between lifts, but not so long that we aren't experiencing progressive overload. With that, think of weekly versus daily volume as well. So you can destroy a muscle group in one sitting, wait 5 to 7 days to touch it again, or train multiple sessions per week with less destruction of that muscle group. Remember that soreness is not a prerequisite for muscle growth. Mechanical tension is your main pusher of hypertrophy, so hitting a muscle group every 3 to 7 days should allow you to progress and recover from that mechanical tension or load. There is no finite answer to this. Generally speaking, every 5 to 7 days at the minimum. Should you always test workouts before programming for a client? Fair question. No, but also I think this is far more important when you're a young coach or interning. There is truth to practicing what you preach in a literal sense. So I know what my Built by Annie clients feel like when they perform high volume oxidative squats because I've done them. I know what it feels like to pair hip thrusts with Bulgarian split squats or do cardiac power output intervals because I have done those things. With that, I've not done every single lift inside Built by Annie for 36 phases of programming, right? But I've experienced and researched segments of it. When you're starting out, I think it's wildly beneficial to try your programming, to feel it and time it versus, you know, what it looks like on paper and what it actually feels like in real life. Things can slip by you, like having a horizontal pulling day after a deadlift day. The spinal erectors can be a huge limiting factor here. And I bring this mistake up because I made it. I've experienced that. I've experienced programming a horizontal pushing and pulling day after a deadlift day. And it was a terrible, terrible programming. All you think about on bench and horizontal pulling is how freaking fatigued your erectors are, and maybe even your grip, possibly. So I've been there. Trying your own sets and reps or exercise pairings is a fantastic way to learn. I think being your own guinea pig is really invaluable when you're first starting out and you're learning how to program. So I don't think that, you know, you need to try every single program you ever write, but I do think being familiar with the methodologies that you're using is important. How do you go about choosing specific movements over others when they work the same muscle group? Fantastic question. This comes very much so down to preference of you as the programmer and that of your client if it is one-on-one. I am 100% open to having a client choose a different exercise if it gets the job done and gives the same stimulus that I was going for with my programming. Some considerations to make here, and this is why having a basic understanding of anatomy and physiology is so important, I think, is if the exercises are actually a similar stimulus or if they just work the same muscle group, because those aren't the same. So take the Romanian deadlift and a hamstring curl versus a pull-up and a lat pull-down as an example here. The hamstrings are both worked in an RDL and a hamstring curl, but what's the difference in those two exercises? One is prioritizing stress in the hamstrings as the muscle lengthens. That would be the RDL. And the other is prioritizing the shortening contraction of the hamstring, which would be the hamstring curl. How can we see this? Where is the fulcrum or the pulley located at for the movement? So what joint does the action take place at? With an RDL, it's the hips. That's the point at which we're hinging, right? With the hamstring curl, it happens at the knee. The hips are fixed. Does that make sense? Are we tracking? You see? So they both work the hamstrings, but in a different manner. They don't have the same exact stimulus. This is in a very long way around how I decide on what exercises to choose when looking at the same muscle group. There are many things to consider, including what other muscles are involved and things of that sort. Hopefully that helped in the reference of comparing an RDL to a hamstring curl versus like a lat pull down to a pull up, is that a lat pull down to a pull up would be much more similar to muscle groups and the actual stimulus. Hopefully that was helpful. Next up is how to go about long-term periodization. This came up so much, so many times, as well as exercise selection over a year-long training program. So this is going to be a decently lengthy answer here, but I'll try to keep it concise. Long-term periodization is my favorite. It's what I learned and focused on in school and my time in college strength and performance. So I am not an expert. I'm not the best. I don't have, you know, my own philosophy or methodology. I use that of other experts and programs that have come before me, but I am happy to share what I know. When looking at programming structure, we have micro, meso, and macro cycles. Micro would be your 1 month or block. Meso would be your quarter, so 3 to 4 months. Macro would be 1 year plus. Micro, meso, macro. So we're looking at macro cycles. How to program for 12 months or more. For reference, this is the format that I use in all of my 3 Built by Annie programs. They're built in a 12-month cyclical format, meaning that you can cycle through the same 12-month program and continue to make gains. They're built in a cyclical manner. I personally start this process by looking at the primary goal of each mesocycle. So remember, a mesocycle is that 3 to 4 month period. Is it a strength block? Is it a hypertrophy block? Is it a power block? Are we building capacity over these months? Mind you that there are so many things that someone could focus on. The examples I gave were just broad topics for you to start from. I start wide with a bird's eye view of each mesocycle, so each 3 month period, if you will. Make sure the progression from meso to mesocycle makes sense, that we are not jumping from an endurance block to a strength or power block. That doesn't make sense, right? Then within each mesocycle, plan out your micro cycles, which would be your month-to-month progression. I like to start with the volume of the main lift, so our squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, whatever our main focus is. I like to basically set up each micro cycle based on the volume of that lift and then go into accessory and warm-ups based on whatever, you know, the goal of the cycle is. I know that's a lot, especially to just take over audio, but that's why I am working on a course on this stuff so that I can help you and break it down and provide, you know, progression to learning programming. We'll see if I can make that happen. It is proving to be a very big project, but more importantly, I am trying to make it understandable and applicable for coaches. Next up, how to get through a plateau. We can plateau from overtraining or under recovering, or from a lack of progressive overload. Assuming someone has been adherent to their program, you would either take a deload week or change up the stimulus. And that can be anything. We're just changing it up so that we are eliciting progressive overload. And we will get into that in the next few questions. So the next question is how to keep progressing a client in a movement pattern, but keeping things diverse. Change up what you can outside of that movement pattern and use exercises that your client finds fun or prefers. So ask your client for requests, bring them into the process and build efficacy. That's what I have to say about that. So, you know, focus on whatever it is that you're trying to change or manipulate for that client, but then outside of that work, bring in things that the client enjoys or has a say in, if possible. Progressive overload is so confusing to me. I would need to ask what is confusing or overwhelming about it specifically. In short, we can use tempo, volume, load, intensity, range of motion to elicit progressive overload. The primary goal is to add more or different mechanical tension to the muscle fibers than they've previously experienced. Okay, and again, we can use tempo, load, intensity, range of motion, one of these things at a time. You don't have to be changing up all of those. Hopefully that helped whoever is confused by progressive overload. In short, next up is warm up, cool down. That's all it says. I don't know what the question was, but I am going to say something about it that just comes to mind. So I am for a daily repeatable full body warm up for a few reasons. It builds awareness, predictability, and allows an athlete to get their head in the lift and kind of transition from life to I am going to work out with intention now. It's a daily baseline to see how they're feeling before they load their body. And that's what happens when you do the same exact thing every day for a, you know, pre-movement prep warm-up, just a general kind of full body, where are we at? There's normally core work in there too, to some extent, in the warm-up. Cool downs have been said to be helpful in bringing the body from a sympathetic to a parasympathetic state versus suggesting that it actually does anything for delayed onset muscle soreness, DOMS, or muscle damage being less when you do a cool down. I have not seen literature that supports that. Maybe it does exist. The literature that I have seen suggests that it is more about taking that person who has basically turned up the volume of everything and been in a sympathetic state to a parasympathetic state. Benefit of a cool down. Last question that I will answer today is how and when to progress online clients through their phases. So I mentioned this a little bit in the previous episode, episode 111. 4 to 6 weeks, generally speaking, is how long a training phase will last. Some one-on-one coaches program week to week, especially if you are working with an injury or something that needs week to week consideration. But generally speaking, 4 to 6 weeks should get the job done. That gives the body enough time to adapt to a training stimulus, and then be ready for a progression of some kind. There you have it. 22 programming questions answered between episode 111 and this episode 112. I don't know if you are more confused or less confused now, but what's done is done. Programming and fitness in general is one of those things where as you learn, you realize how much you still don't know. That's been my experience. Anyway, I don't think it's a bad thing. We can not have all of the answers and still produce quality programs. And that's something I definitely want you to take away from this. We can be learning and produce solid programs. There is always more to learn. With that, I am going to thank the sponsor of this podcast, Legion Athletics. I just love them. The more I use their products, the more I stand behind the products, and that's just because I have experience using them and I've had more time with them in my body and to see how my body reacts to them. I love it. I love that they are 100% formula transparency, meaning that you can go to their site, view all of the literature behind why they're choosing the dosages and the ingredients that they are using. They also have a 100% money-back guarantee and free shipping for those of you that are skeptical. I know that some of my audience does not use supplements, and it's, you know, a somewhat unregulated industry, so you don't always know what you're getting, which is why I love the transparency of Legion Athletics. You can go to buylegion.com, as in B-U-Y, like you are buying something, legion.com, and use code Annie at checkout to save 20% off your first order. If you are an existing customer and you already love Legion, you will get double Legion reward points if you use code Annie. Finally, if you have not yet done so, please, it would be so appreciated if you would go over to iTunes, give the show 5 stars, and leave a written review. It is so appreciated. I choose a listener of the month who left a review, and that person gets 50% off any non-membership program of mine, as well as a freebie from Frey Skincare. And remember, you can always, always, always use my code FDBA to save with Frey Skincare. If you are not on my mailing list and you would like to get weekly updates and or Annie's daily dose, you can subscribe at anniemiller.co/news. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitzPro podcast.